Podcasting 2.0 for May 21st, 2021, episode number 38. Don't feed the monkeys. I know. It's a gift. What can I tell you? Hey, everybody, it's time for the Friday board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on at podcastindex.org and, of course, the Mastodon, podcastindex.social. Always fun to check in, have a very busy schedule today. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and in Alabama, proud father of two daughters and a son. My friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Yeah, my 19-year-old daughter just bought a motorcycle.
See, this is what I mean. You're a proud daddy. What did she get? What did she get? What kind of motorcycle did she get? What power?
She got a Honda CB300.
Wow. And,
yeah. And I'm trying not to be terrified.
Yeah, you probably will never get over that feeling. Oh, my goodness. That's the only thing I had with my daughter. One agreement. Well, it's kind of a twofer. One is you can always call me if you need a ride. You know, whatever the state is, whatever country, whatever the issue is, no questions asked. And the second one, never ever get on anything with less than four wheels. Yeah. And she literally has said to people, "No, and also no hot air balloons." I told her that too. I said those things are dangerous. That's you don't land, you control crash in that. So it's,
spoken like a true pilot.
Yeah, no, I've done a couple balloon flights. I have respect for those guys, but it's not my type of aviation. And she's kept to that. But man, the CB300, that's a serious bike.
Yeah, it's considered like a, you know, quote unquote, a good learning bike. And I'm like,
it's more okay than a learn. I mean, to me, you know, like a 125 or something, that's a learning bike.
Yeah.
You get a 300. That's like, is it four stroke? Yeah, it must be four stroke, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a, you know, crotch rocket looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I saw it and I was like, I had this split brain because I'm a kind of a motorcycle guy.
Of course, on one end you go like, "Hey, man, I'd love to spin that on the dirt track."
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
On the other hand, you're getting on what?
Yep, exactly. The dad in me is like, "Oh my god," and the dude in me is like, "Man, that's cool."
Yeah, no, I feel you there, brother. I feel you there. Now, you went? Was it graduations this week? You had something going on with the kids.
Not really graduations, but it's just end of school stuff, you know.
Like, gotcha.
My kids go to a private school here in the city, and that's where my wife teaches. And so they have this thing at the end of every school year, and where it's like it's just a big celebration, essentially. And so I'm still recovering from that on Wednesday.
Oh, really?
They have a big school. It's a small school. There's only like roughly 100 kids that go there. So they have this thing, they have a huge game of capture the flag that they play with pretty much the whole school, and parents can do it and everything. And of course, I just went, you know, balls to the wall.
With a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds, Dave? Is that really? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So your body's hurting is what you're telling me.
Oh, I'm dying. My legs are, I mean, I got up the next morning and I was hobbling. It's funny because it's like me and this other guy who's in his 40s. You know, we just went all out against these teenagers. And then we're both like, he had a busted up knee. He's bleeding and hobbling. I'm hobbling. You know, we're
holy
like, man,
crap.
Yeah, we're not young anymore.
No. Well, and I bring this up because sometimes people forget when they're, you know, when it's so easy to talk about podcasting and podcasts and podcast apps and hosting companies and forget that every single one of these entities is, you know, there's blood, sweat, and tears in there from real human beings who have families and jobs and other things to do. And so patience is always nice.
Yeah, totally. 100%. That's a good thing to always remember is when there's people on the other side of all this stuff.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, I'm now going to rip some people to shreds.
Yes, please proceed.
Well, a couple things dawned on me this past week. And I guess I just wasn't able, and I'm going to try and put it into words today to explain what I see happening and where things are going. So I checked out podcasting 1.0. You know, I went back and what is the standard podcast doing? What are people up to? And something that I think is very podcasting 1.0 is the AMBYs. It's the Academy, the Podcast Academy Awards. I believe this was their first annual award show.
Did you put our, where is our AMBY at? Did you already, did you put it on the mantle? Like, where are you, the one that they shipped you in the mail?
I will say the statues are the best thing about the whole awards. Statues are quite pretty. Yeah, a statue is a very pretty, pretty design. But I found this to be incredibly sad. The whole thing was disheartening. First of all, production-wise, everyone's trying to be nice in the podcast space. It was a piece of shit. It was two cameras. There was not. There was never one single close-up. I don't think the cameras were even operated. Reaction shot, 14 people in a 30 by 30 soundstage.
Now, let me stop you for a sec. People need to understand that you are a media... I mean, you spent your whole life in not just in media, but in television.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you speak from 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Knowledge of how this all works.
Yes. And I've been a part of award shows, and it was very sad as a so-called streaming event or a telecast. And I don't think that the Podcast Academy even understands that, you know, the Los Angeles Times, you know, wrote up a piece before the event. It totally taking the piss out of the whole thing. You know, like, oh, well, perhaps the podcasters will save the award shows. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. So that's, you know, just the production. But really what I saw was big technology companies and their content. That's all that it was. It was a faux award show. Somehow we now have, you know, what you and I do. Now we've been... demoted to indie, which, you know, yeah, podcasting is podcasting. There's no indies in podcasting, so I reject that premise. But based upon that terminology, I didn't see any indies. In fact, this whole thing looked like a pathetic star search. All I missed was Ed McMahon to come out and go, "Hey!" Because what has happened, and I just want everyone to understand, with podcasting 1.0, not a single person really cares about podcasting itself, the idea that there's an independent way to create and broadcast and receive whatever you want. Instead, this has turned into an industry of people looking for ads and acquisition. And every piece of content, and you have to understand, Hollywood's out of ideas. They've been out of ideas for a long time. They're also out of the job because... all of their movies are now being streamed. The new studios are Amazon. It is Netflix. And who's doing podcasting? Amazon. Now, not forget about an app or anything like that. They don't give a shit about that. These guys are trolling for talent. They want to get great concepts, own that concept, own the talent, the writing talent in particular behind it, and then turn that into streaming. I would say video content is pretty much the main thing. So the people who are at these awards are all based on, or not all, but the majority based on investor money and the promise of either huge ad revenue, which I don't think anyone believes that. Everyone's kind of there to be acquired by Amazon or Netflix or Google or Spotify, or maybe there's some kind of special Apple deal that you can get. So what is happening there is it's the farm team. It's like, okay, now I'll dance, monkey boys and girls, dance and do your little show. And whoever gets an award, ooh, you might get an offer from Spotify. You might go to the Joe Rogan things. Ooh, you might, Wondery might bring in exclusive. It's all about hits. That's all that anyone, and listen to the to podcasting news or read it. It's all about, you know, which show went to which host. And this is fantastic. They got this guy from Apple and he's now working at Q Code and they make top-notch content. Sure. But it's really just trying to get to some other level. And no one's really focusing on podcasting. Does that make sense?
Well, I think there's a bunch of stuff that confirms that. Like, I read this article. Let's see. This is from May 17th. Spotify wants to hire a Hollywood. This is the headline. Spotify wants to hire a Hollywood vet to oversee its podcasting studios.
Yeah,
and
Netflix is hiring a podcast a manager of all podcasts. Netflix. So you know that I don't think many people will be using the Netflix app to listen to any podcast. It's all about content acquisition for these guys. They don't give a shit. No one cares about the apps. Well, Spotify, because they kind of sold the investment based upon people using their app for podcasts. But everyone else, they just want the content, and they're out of ideas. Big tech doesn't actually know how to be creative that way. Well, so they're like, I'm sorry.
I can show you how, like, a perfect example of them being out of big tech being out of ideas is the retread of Google Reader that's being baked into Chrome. As you know, like they announced that a couple of days ago that they're going to have that Chrome is going to have a follow button, and you can follow RSS feeds right in the browser.
Yeah. Okay. So when Lucy puts the football down, I don't run up anymore to kick it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like no way. No way.
Now that I want to talk about that separately, but on one thing I think that fits in with what you're talking about also is this was not in the podcasting news, but is the AT&T Discovery deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like that whole thing just proves that media is a train wreck right now. Big media. There's no pathway to any sort of, like, these things aren't profitable anymore, it doesn't seem. In the way they used to be. If anybody, because so, you know, AT&T is having to basically unwind all this stuff that they spent all this money on, you know, over the last, was it ever 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens, if you go back, what's interesting is I was listening to some breakdown of this, and they were talking about, they said at the time, when the AT&T Time Warner deal first originated, it got so much pushback from the Federal Trade Commission because they were all concerned about it, you know, being monopolistic,
having the content and the pipes, which is the dream, the dream, which they failed at consistently.
Yeah, and it's not just, I think the lesson is, it's not just AT&T's mismanagement that couldn't pull it off. It's not, there's something inherent in media that does not jive with tech. I don't understand fully what that means, but I don't think that I think it's an unnatural partnership that is never going to fully work. Maybe Netflix is the one that has gotten closest to it, but their really only successful shows are when they just sort of wrote a check and let the media guys just do whatever they really wanted to do.
Right.
The tech trying to come in and manage it and make it more like efficient and all these kinds of, like, that is just not, I think it's a marriage made in hell. And any attempt for big tech to take over media in some way is just destined to fail.
Well, they're changing media. I would argue that the most successful form of media content is TikTok. It all depends on how you define success. The problem I have is all I hear is everybody looking at, talking about big tech when it comes to podcasting. And it's so disheartening. And here's the thing. There's a lot of interest and a lot of yearning for something new. Witness Clubhouse. Oh my God. Everyone's jizzing all over Clubhouse. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Yeah, Clubhouse, no one cares. Sucks. Flash in the pan. It's gone. Of course. I think we said this from day one. This is not going to last. But if you would listen to everyone, we're going to link into Clubhouse. Clubhouse, that's where it's at. Oh, it's the future of podcasting. No, it's not. And that's kind of my point. I don't feel threatened by any of these podcasts and the AMBYs and academies and diversity and equity and boards of governors. That's fantastic. I have no problem whatsoever. But we have a responsibility to keep this part of it alive and going and not be something that Google resurrects 15 years from now and says, oh, yeah, remember this shit?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a big reckoning coming, a big reckoning. Maybe I just see these things in a broader picture, but they're coming for your lunch. Okay, if you're basing your your business on being a part of Spotify and then getting some ads somewhere. You're crazy. It is.
Go ahead.
The whole advertising business of podcasting is built on a lie. It's a lie. We are not selling people listening. You're selling downloads. And in fact, where is the outrage over Apple's broken podcast app? It's not there. Oh, sure, there's a couple people posting. There's some news articles about it. But there's no outrage. Shall I tell you why there's no outrage? I think it's because people have already moved to different ways of listening to podcasts, and the subscription just sitting in the background downloading on their Apple app, and they're not opening it anymore because it doesn't update on time. And no one complained about it. I got maybe four complaints total since they switched, and since the No Agenda show doesn't update sometimes within a day for some people. So I've had four complaints. That tells me people are not using it. And
only four out of, yeah. I mean, you'll have like a million listeners.
At least. And newsflash, everybody knows we fast forward through the ads. It's not like a secret. The whole thing is flimsy, built on lies. And so if no one is going to push hard, and I'm not saying that people aren't, and especially in the hosting business, there's a couple of really strong players who are really working very hard to preserve what we have and make sure that people still know that they can get an app. I don't hear podcasters saying, hey, why don't you try out a new app? Say, oh, get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. It's time to mention some names, people, because you're just going to get swallowed up into nothingness. Go, talk to the documentary guys. They can't get on anymore. Right now, oh, it's free and open. Yeah, everything will be allowed on Apple. And believe me, coming soon, newsflash, you're going to be cut off. You'll just be cost. And we need this ecosystem. So, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and we have more than a dozen apps that are now podcasting 2.0 and that are completely free of this crazy infrastructure that is collapsing in on itself into just a bucket of drivel.
Yeah, the podcast press is the endless Spotify Apple is just like, it's beginning to just kind of drive me a little bonkers. I'm so tired of Spotify and Apple. And, you know, I mean, I get it. They're two big players and they have podcasts.
The pass that is given to Apple is unbelievable. Well, I'm sure they'll get it all fixed this month. Oh, well, that's just Apple. They just don't communicate. There's no outrage.
If we screwed up the index that bad, we would have been written off after 5 minutes.
Yep.
And never talked about again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But somehow they just keep going on and going and going, and everybody's okay with it. And if you want a glimpse, I brought some clips.
Ooh.
If you want a glimpse into what sort of the big media future of podcasting would be, you can look at Armchair Experts, which is the latest. You know, of course, we have to. Any podcast that goes exclusive, you know, you have to mock them. So they're going exclusive under the Spotify.
It's no longer a podcast. It's just a property. Yes, yeah, this exactly. Spotify it's property. A, okay, yeah.
They're going to go exclusive, and this is Dax Shepard, who's like an actor. I've never seen anything.
I did hear about this deal. Okay,
do the first one. Just says Armchair Experts.
So I've been cleaning, my favorite COVID activity. I've been cleaning.
Oh, what rooms did you tackle?
Oh my gosh. I've been working my way up from the basement. I'm now in the attic.
Oh my goodness. So really soup to nuts.
Making lots of progress.
Are you doing a Michelle Kondo approach? Is that her name, Monica?
No,
Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo. Yeah. Are you like putting things out and seeing it like I love you or I don't love you, that whole thing?
Wow, he's wacky. It's just a grad shop. It's very wacky.
that's your future of big media produced podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're super clean, nothing offensive. Everybody's on their best behavior.
Yeah,
everybody's going to just barf all over each other.
It's like Top 40 radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's what we want podcasting to be, then just turn it over. Let's just turn it all over to Wondery and all these big companies that want to go exclusive and do exclusive deals and Parcast and all these things. That's what you're going to get. Here's a better example. Play Armchair Experts Barf One.
You have the most arresting blue eyes. They're so fucking beautiful. When I was watching the Hulu thing, I've got a really nice television, so I was getting it in 4K, and they're so unbelievably beautiful. You have the most beautiful eyes.
Sparkling.
Monica, would you agree with this assessment?
Yes.
Yeah!
That is their interview with Hillary Clinton. Oh.
Okay, there's something to be said for that. I appreciate that he did that, but you know, you could have said, why do I see nothing when I look in your eyes?
That's just like the whole, this is what you get with media. You get self-importance and driveling all over each other. That's what it is. That's what award shows are. Mm-hmm. They're all just a bunch of people congratulating each other for how great they are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what you're going to get. It's highly produced. It's slick. And then you lose all of the beauty of what makes raw community driven audio what it is. I'm like you. I think the rawness and the unpolish of what podcasting is and has always been is one of the reasons why it is what it is today. It's not the highly produced stuff that has always been available. This is the other side of that, and they're trying to just sort of wedge the, you know, take this market and sort of like wedge a bunch of production value into it and turn it into just like this extra few billion dollars that they can just tack on to the.
Everybody wants to be acquired. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what the hits business is about. It's no different than the record business, and you have these big. Spotify knows exactly how this works. And, you know, you have your Gimlets and stuff like that, and they're kind of the indie labels, and they get bought up, and then those owners make out like bandits. And, you know, just look at who's at the top of Apple. You know, how do those guys get there? Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. And then you have 100 things that you eventually just drop or pay no attention to. They dry up, they go. Trust me, I ran a podcast network. I raised a lot of money to do it. I thought it would work. And I noticed, oh, wait a minute. We're never going to get brand advertisers ever. We have no measurement system. You can IAB me as often as you want, but it's downloads. It's a farce. It's fake. It's a lie. And yeah, it's an agreed to lie. It's still a lie. You have no idea who's listening. It's probably a lot less than everybody than people think.
I think you're right about the Apple just downloading stuff in the background. Mine's doing it.
I have at least three old phones that whenever they flip on, they do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know Tina's does it.
I get the push notification saying, you've got like 6 new episodes of this. And I always just flick it away. And it's been doing that for months and months. And the funny thing about it is I only use the Apple podcast app to test, download user agent stuff a couple of months ago. Yeah. And ever since then, it's just been like downloading episodes, and those are registering as downloads for some show that I've never even touched.
You know, the analogy for me, and it's particularly the press, and I understand, you know, it's trade press, and trade press, the way it works, in case people don't know, is you go to all the players in the industry and you say, sponsor me. And then, you know, you report on everybody. Mm-hmm. And no, that doesn't mean that there's no actual reporting about non-paying entities, but you know, obviously, the press releases are being turned into news, and that's just what it is. But it doesn't really mean that people are getting any real value or benefit from that, other than here's what it's like TMZ. You know, that's what I'm hearing from just all these pods. It's all about, oh, great new these guys, and they merged with those guys, and they're creating a new talent house. Well, sure, that's fine, but you're talking about new shows for big tech. You're not talking about podcasting. And there's so much, and by its very nature, podcasting isn't really a reportable story. But, you know, because what's great for one person is not going to work for another. That's the beauty of it. But we really do need to focus, like, give some of these other apps some love, people. Highlight one once in a while. Do an interview. That's why I appreciate Sir Gene so much. He interviewed everyone that's doing something on the hosting side, on the app side, on the Bitcoin side. And what do our app developers get? Shit.
They
get passed over.
The only interview with Roy from Breeze that I've heard is on... it's from the podcasting world. I mean, it's from Sir Gene.
Yep.
That's it. This is a brand new podcast app that allows micro payments in cryptocurrency, and nobody's interviewed him.
No, because everyone's afraid and they don't want to step on toes, and they want to, you know, snuggle up to the big boys so they can get their inside scoops and not be, you know, not be perceived as too radical. I know how it works. And I don't blame anybody, but I do need to say it.
Well, yeah,
I need to say it. Why did it sound like that? I'm sorry.
That's the Twitter guy. He's coming.
That's a lot of guy. No, that's a different guy.
Okay.
Twitter guy is different. Don't worry, he's coming.
Okay. he's lurking in your basement. He's
so, you know, and I'm not even talking about the value for value stuff, which, you know, is a way forward to keep everybody involved and in the value flow, you know. And I know these things take a while for sure, and there's still a lot of hurdles and stumbling blocks, and I'm so proud of you know, Podfriend and Breeze and Sphinx and Podstation and CurioCaster and Podverse and everyone who's taken some step and put that stuff in and said, fuck it, you know, just try and do something here. And it's ugly and it doesn't work right. And, you know, it's hard to set up. Let's put it that way. But, you know, that's how podcasting started the first time. No one had a design like, oh, and here's how it'll work. No, we learned all these things on the fly. And I'm so proud of that. I'm just really frustrated that I'm not getting any press, at least not press that I'm seeing, about any of the apps, any of the hosting companies, any of the forward-looking things they're doing. You know, none of it. And that's just so disappointing. Now, we don't need the press, but I'm just saying, you guys are going to be shit out of luck. One day, you're going to come, hey, can we get a story? Like, no. No, you weren't there for us. I know that's a real Hollywood thing to do.
I'm a big fan of your work.
I love your work, man. Absolutely love your work. Anyway, now,
I would say that also your cat things like I read the story about cat, you know, Castos bought Podient, the host. It's basically one host bought another host. And the thing that I thought of immediately with that, because I had just read the AT&T Time Warner Discovery thing, is you have to be very careful when it comes to mergers and acquisitions. I mean, that's across the board, not just in podcasting, not just in media. Mergers and acquisitions are not a thing that just works out. I mean, you can see a long line of companies that have looked fantastic on paper for a merger, and it's been a complete failure.
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
Fails way more often than it succeeds.
Yahoo is basically the whore of the media business, has been bought and sold so many times, and now is lumped in with a whole bunch of other crap. Here, 5 billion, take it or leave it.
I guess I'm just warning, you know, sort of the podcast industry as a whole, that, you know, if you think your exit strategy is just to find the right merger, I mean, yeah, maybe the founder gets out with some cash. But as far as like the health of the industry or the health of even the resulting companies that come out of that, you know, the stats are clear. Mergers fail more often than they succeed. And that goes across all industries. So if you're trying to form a healthier company through mergers, that's not always the best strategy.
And the same goes, there will be you know, the hunger winter is coming. And here's how it plays out. All these
hunger winter. I like that.
All these content companies, if they don't produce enough hits, the funding will stop. Everyone goes home. Yeah. That's just how it's going to go. The really sweet raisins will be picked right out of the oatmeal. And if you're not one of them, you're done. And I've seen this movie. This is how it's the thinking. It's how it works. I did this. I was a part of it, so I can warn for it. But the thing with podcasting 2.0 is that we don't really need press. This is the beauty of it. We don't need, and we're not going to get it anyway. So what we need is for podcasters to tell their audience, their listeners, to go check out some new podcast apps. And, you know, gee, maybe try one or two yourself, and then you can say, hey, here's something you might want to try, because it will keep this show on the air, your show, insert your show name here. It cannot be taken down, and it has a lot of extra features, and it is the true independent nature, distributed, decentralized, of podcasting. And you need to ask your listeners to go and try some out. Also, hosting companies, please consider promoting some podcasts that are not Apple, Spotify, you know, Amazon, Google, etc.
Well, and the apps too. Like,
but, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want the hosting companies to promote the apps.
Yeah, in their like, most hosting companies have newsletters and stuff they put out on a regular basis, featuring a new. It doesn't even have to be a value for value type app. Just some other independent app that's not owned by the big guys.
Exactly.
Feature Downcast, Overcast, Podfriend. Any of the CurioCast or any of the apps. Podverse is a fantastic app. Promote some of these independent apps, and that way it. Yeah, I think the hosters need to promote that as well.
Absolutely.
Because that shores up their business.
But what I hear some hosting companies doing is, you know, they're just sitting back like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm selling some ads. I update the Spotify feed. You know, it's all separate, by the way. It's all backroom deals. He said conspiratorially.
Well, you are conspiracy.
There's some kind of deal if Spotify removes it, you have to remove it. I'm not quite sure how it works, but there's all kinds of stuff in the works, which is fine. But please promote, save yourself, because what I saw was a couple days ago with the Ambies does not bode well for anybody. If that's the path you want to follow, I'm out. I'm going to stay over here and we'll just keep on plugging away. Keep on plugging away. And part of what we're doing to really make it that much better, I mean, we have to live up to the 2.0 name, is Podping, which I think is now in full-blown, full production. It's a fantastic story because it uses the Hive blockchain in a very, I think, a manner that was never really thought of for blockchain usage. And it's working like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Now we need to get adoption, I guess. Where are we at with the... Now, just to explain very simply, instead of a whole bunch of servers and applications and companies hitting RSS feeds with a high regularity and not always doing it nicely, sometimes doing more than just a header request, it's just incredible. It's killing the climate. It's really creating global warming. The amount of crawlers that are out there polling RSS feeds, and it also it's complicated. And this is part of the problem that popped up with Apple's changes. They've switched their system, and so now it can take quite a while before your podcast feed is updated. And we decided to change that with at least the hosting companies that were interested, and I think we have a couple of the big ones on board. So they're now, in essence, any podcasting 2.0 app will update probably within a 10-second window of that show being uploaded. Is that about right?
It's a little bit longer than that.
Oh, jeez.
It's about 40 seconds.
Okay.
So, I think what I've been missing is, or what we have been missing is just sort of a succinct explanation, you know, soup to nuts of how, of just the gist of what this thing is, because, you know, something soundbiteable, so to speak. And so I'm going to do that, or attempt to do that. And what Podping is, and I'm going to leave out all the web sub, all that. I'm going to leave out all that talk. Okay. Podping is a marriage of two pieces of software. It's a web front end that accepts GET requests with a URL parameter with the feed, where that's where you're going to put the feed URL, and a script that writes those URLs to the Hive blockchain. The web front end accepts the URLs from the host and passes them to the Hive writer script, which writes them to the Hive blockchain.
At that point, anybody can be looking at the Hive blockchain to get these updates.
Yes. And so that is there's a downloadable package where you can run your own Podping node, a full node, just like we run.
Oh, sexy.
Anybody can run this, but I mean, it's not super useful to you at this point. So the confusion a little bit comes in, and this, we saw this, Sir Bimrose was on the Mastodon asking about it. As he said, well, this sounds like just another way to, you know, another centralized system, because where the hosting companies are now sending their pings is to podping.cloud. That's the URL. And as of right now, yes. It is, everything goes to one central place. Now, it's not one server. Currently, there are three servers, all load balanced. There's one in the United States in Atlanta. There's one in Frankfurt, Germany for Europe. And there's one in Sydney, Australia.
Is the Frankfurt one, is that next to the Dominion voting tally?
Yeah, the voting machines. Yeah. Okay. That's how you choose the next president, is you listen to a podcast. You listen to podcasts. So they're spread out all over the globe, and they're load balanced geographically so that, you know, if you're pinging from one place, you get to the closest server. So not technically centralized, but I still get the vibe. Okay.
Anybody can tie into the blockchain. It's no secret. You can just start scanning for those feeds, and you're good to go. You can update, so that's highly decentralized.
Yes.
And Apple could use this at any moment, whenever they want to.
They can use it right now.
Yeah.
We are using it right now. So that the thing that we did this morning I turned off polling for Buzzsprout and RSS.com.
Those are the two. Yeah. So they're all in. They're updating us full time. That's like the two biggest guys out there, isn't it?
So RSS, Alberto, he's famous for writing the paper on, essentially, the academic paper on sex robots. We interviewed him on the show.
Yes.
He's evidently trying to get his, he's trying to make the front page of Drudge Report, I think. Okay. Sex robots are coming. He emailed and said, he's like, we got it up and running. We're pinging y'all. So they were the first company to start sending pings to Podping. And it just started flowing. Beautiful. Looked great. Tom Rossi hit me up, you know, a little while later, said, hey, are you ready for us to start sending? I said, yeah, go ahead. He started sending. So now we got RSS.com and Buzzsprout both sending every time somebody on one of their platforms publishes a new episode or changes the feed, the info in their feed, it sends a ping to the podping.cloud system.
Beautiful.
And so from the moment that they ping us to the time when we get that new episode into our database and it shows up on the site and to all of our apps is about 40 seconds on average. That means, and so the chain is like this, RSS.com sends a ping, with the URL. That URL gets put into a queue on our side. Every 15 seconds, the queue is dumped to the Hive writer script, which writes those attempts, which queues them itself for a few seconds to save up enough to try to get a bunch of URLs in the same block.
Right.
It then writes all those URLs to the current block. Then at that point, it's on the chain. So that process can take 20 to 25 seconds.
Outrage.
Typically.
Outrage.
Total outrage. At that point, everybody out there who is running the Hive Watcher script, and if you look at our podcast index organization on GitHub, you'll see the podping.cloud repo and all this code is in there. It's all open source. Anybody who's running the Hive Watcher script, and you can do this right now, you can go download the clone the repo and then run the simple-watcher.py script. It's a Python script. The instructions on how to do it are on the repo readme. Run that script, and what you'll start seeing is just a constant fire hose of feed URLs printing one line at a time across your screen. So as soon as those URLs are written to the Hive blockchain, everybody in the world that's running Hive Watcher script will see those pop up on their screen as it's reading from the most current block of the blockchain.
Yeah, it's super sexy, man. I'm going to put this, put a link to the GitHub.
Okay. Yeah.
In the show notes for this. Yeah.
And so what I did on my side, I've just taken the simple Watcher script and piped it. This is literally just a screen session right now on one of our utility servers. I've just run simple Watcher pipe into a simple PHP script that just looks for a URL to show up in the pipe and marks it in the database for immediate polling.
So for the team at Apple, that is the Podping GitHub repo. It's in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the Watcher. It will save you a lot of pain.
Yes,
you can stop. You can stop polling Buzzsprout and RSS.com today, right now, as we speak.
Yep, we already did it, and it's working great. No longer poll them,
and that would save so much hassle and pain and money, quite frankly.
And Captivate, I heard from Kieran. He emailed me and said, "Yeah, we're all on board with this." And I sent him a posting key, an authorization token, and so he said within the next couple of days he's going to have that into their system, and then we'll stop polling them. So everybody who wants. Any hosting company who wants to get on board with this, just email me. I'll send you an authorization token. This is all still technically in beta, but it's completely stable so far. I mean, we've seen very, very few quirks with this thing.
And I just love watching the podping.watch.
Yeah, that's a cool app. Yeah.
Oh my God. You just sit there all day. Like,
yeah.
Oh, look at this. And let me listen to that one. And I will say that there's a lot of disappointment often when you click on something. It's like, okay, that's too bad. That's too bad. Yeah. But often it's so surprising, you know, and yeah, that's just what it is.
Yeah. And it's a great way to find new feeds. Like Christopher Isine, he was like, yeah, there's a bunch of these feeds that are not in the index. And so he, of course, like he always does, he immediately just starts grabbing. He starts fishnetting those things and feeding them back into the index,
mm-hmm.
so that we're capturing things that we didn't have before. But anyway, that's the whole system front to back.
Now, if you're independent, how do you participate in this? Do you request access to post your ping to ping your post?
Okay,
to post your ping to pod.
Yeah. So that's the second part of this. that's the part that Ben Rose was misunderstanding, or not, excuse me, he's not misunderstanding it. It just has not been expressed properly. So the beginning of this is obviously there's an alpha stage and then a beta stage where we try to make sure everything is stable and works. I think that at the end of this thing, we're going to end up with a hybrid approach. So there's going to be podping.cloud, and to send requests to podping.cloud, you need an authorization header that you can include in your GET requests. For that, and for that, you need to email me. I'll send you one. It takes 2 seconds.
You should put that in the docs.
Yeah, I will. And the other part is for independent hosts, people that run their own, that self-host.
Yes, because I soon will be a Castapod user, so I'm fully expecting to be able to ping from there.
Mm-hmm. And so that is what you need for that is not the full podping.cloud software.
Ah.
What you need is just the Hive Writer script. You just need the script that writes something that writes a URL to the Hive blockchain in the proper format. The trick though is you need a set of Hive posting keys. You need an account within the Hive system, a set of keys that allow you to post.
So why wouldn't Castapod just hit the URL like the hosting companies are?
Well, because every app would need their own authorization.
Right. I understand. Okay.
Yeah. And it's much more fit at that point. And then.
Yeah. It'd be easier for them to just put that in there and with some instructions on how to get your key and your Hive treats or whatever things you need over there, apparently it's not all that hard. It's just, I haven't looked at it.
And that solves the decentralization part.
Mm-hmm.
So when everybody themselves are writing to the Hive blockchain, then you're truly decentralized. Yes, podping.cloud will still exist for, big hosting companies and this kind of thing. But when everybody themselves are writing to the Hive chain, then you'd have a truly decentralized system. And that's the way this thing eventually evolves into being decentralized. It's just too much trouble right now to figure all that out. That will be step two down the line. And I want people to actually start playing around with it and figure it out now.
Yeah.
Like Andy Lehman, he said he is going to look into it. He may end up coding up something. I think it would be very simple to do. And the tricky part is, in order to have some sense of, I don't know what you would call it, authority or trustedness on the chain, then the Hive Watcher script begins to what it expects is for everything to be coming from our account. So our account is the one that is posting all of these URLs.
Right.
And so the Hive Watcher, the watcher script that everybody runs on their machine, expects all these URLs to be coming from either that account or accounts that we have delegated to as authorized. So let's just say that Bimrose or Andy wants to post directly to the Hive blockchain from their WordPress installs or whatever. I'm not sure what Bimrose is running. They would need Hive posting key. And we would need to bless their key.
Mm-hmm.
And by following it, what they call following on Hive. Once we follow that key, that account,
then it's good to go.
Then the Hive Watcher script begins to include all the URLs they post in the output. And it's just an anti-spam mechanism.
Right.
So that's how that will work. And so what we need is we will need some way to figure out how to bless this. And Alex Gates wrote a really good article. I don't know if you read it.
Yes, I did. Another thing I need to put a link to.
Mm-hmm. And he goes in depth about how this sort of rapid blockchain technology is going to help things in many different ways. And one of the things he touches on is, you know, that you can go ahead and post to the chain, even if you are not kind of blessed by us. You can just do it. You can get some Hive posting keys and start writing to the Hive blockchain your own custom URL, custom JSON blocks with these URLs in them. The Hive Watcher script out of the box is not initially going to see those. It's going to ignore them. But other software can be born, or other people can just begin to watch broader things that they trust. Like, it doesn't all depend on us.
Right.
You know, this is a decentralized thing. And with decentralization comes sort of a slow motion. Decentralizing things is a slow motion process that's kind of this sort of friction based. Like, people have to figure out the best ways that these things work. You don't have the benefit of having somebody come in and just tell you from the very beginning, this is the way all this system's going to work, done. That's not how open source and freedom works. Freedom works through a process of discovery and exploration.
Also, freedom always requires a little extra effort.
Yes, exactly.
The Alex Gates article is called Podcasting 2.0, The Last Mile, and it's linked in the show notes. It's a very good read. Very good read. And I'd like to challenge both Blueberry and Libsyn. I was listening to the New Media show this morning, and they were, for lack of a better word, bitching about Apple's polling and how many times it's hitting the server or not, or how ineffective it is. And they both literally said, oh, if only there were a way we could just ping you, Apple, and then you'd know about it. Well, unless they consider Podcasting 2.0 and the more than 10 apps that are currently using these protocols, if you think that they're lesser than Apple, then for sure, you know, let us just continue to poll you. Or why don't you ping us? It's very simple. You can do it today, and we can stop polling. And it would put a real stake in the ground. I know that they're just unaware because they're really busy.
I don't know if there's been a new show, but I heard on the previous episode of the New Media show that
so one that came out today.
Oh, okay. Well, the previous episode, Rob had mentioned PodPing to Todd, and he said, "Yeah, we'll be glad to start pinging them." So they have no problem with it. I just haven't reached out to them yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know at least Blueberry will start. I'm not sure, you know, about Libsyn, but I hope they will too. It's so easy.
And we can move something forward. I mean, I don't know how many times we're polling their feeds.
Who knows? I got no idea.
Yeah, who knows?
I got no idea. But all I know is it feels so good to just go into the aggregator and just basically just cut off, 100,000 feeds.
Oh, beautiful.
And just say, we're just not going to check them anymore.
Nope. Don't have to. Unless you tell us. Yeah, it all works. It's beautiful.
Yeah. speaking of the New Media show, I thought this was ED Advertising 1.
Erectile dysfunction is a big category being advertised in podcasts right now.
Okay.
It is. It's huge.
Yeah, I talked about this on No Agenda yesterday because I heard them talking about this too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's sad.
Yeah. Go ahead and play part two.
So I was told by a media buyer that they're targeting 25 to 35 for ED meds.
Okay.
On gaming
25 shows. To 35 CPM?
No.
Or age group?
Age group.
Okay.
Oh. 25 to 35.
We have a lot of unhealthy people, young people in this country, I guess, huh?
I actually asked the guy three times. Not 45 to 65. No, 25 to 35. And I'm like, God help us. Population is going to go.
Yeah. So there's two parts to this. One is, why are you marketing to younger men? And the answers that I've received back from the No Agenda audience are very sad. The majority say, oh, it's because of excessive masturbation due to porn, which
that was one of my thoughts.
Yeah. Either I've always been told either it's not, you're going to break it or you'll go blind or hair on your palm. So there was probably something to that. And I don't know if you have it in the third clip, but what was funny, because I know Todd and it was funny, but at the same time, kind of disturbing. He was very happy to have the pharma ads, despite the obvious horribleness that is going on with this particular advertiser.
And so pharma all day long.
Oh, you have it. Hold on a second. Yes, this one.
I'll take pharma all day long.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you, Todd.
Apparently, a lot of podcast listeners and gamers take pharma all day long.
I thought that was a fascinating discussion about the state of advertising.
What did you have any of that? Because they sat there and calculated that like 0.5% of all podcasts are making all the money.
Yeah,
and everything else is not making money. That's they literally did that, and I think they were a little surprised themselves.
Yeah, if nobody has listened to that, go back to listen to the penultimate New Media show.
Yes,
and follow along with their discussion. It is quite interesting to hear them break down the math exactly how many podcasts in the industry are really and truly getting monetized. It is not very many.
And I'll add to that, although they didn't discuss it specifically, a lot of that is thrown into radio advertising. So there'll be a radio buy and we'll throw in some podcasting. That's what iHeart's doing. That's how they sell it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Of course. They just merged the sales teams of all those companies they bought.
Oh,
so they merged it in. I've come from this business. I pioneered some of this dreck. So that's why it's appropriate for me to warn about what's happening. Now, we have an alternative to that, which is the value for value model. And I finally got down to writing this up in a way that I think at least gets people started. That's why I titled it How to Receive Bitcoin in Real Time for Your Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
With some very simple, how does it work? And then write to, I have a lightning node. I know what I'm doing. Or I know what I'm doing. I don't have a lightning node. Or, huh? So,
yeah.
And that's at valueforvalue.io if you want to send someone there so they can understand it. Value for value. And it's value number four, value. Valueforvalue.io. And if you want to send your listeners to check out some cool podcast apps, it's newpodcastapps.com. These are things you can remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that piece that you wrote was really good because every time we do something where we have to put wording on a page, it always starts off this back end discussion of, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't explain it right. And finally you were just like, screw it. I'm going to write this whole thing up the right way, the way that it needs to be explained. I'm just going to do it.
Well, yeah. What prompted me is so many people saying, how do I do it? And there's just little gotchas along the way little things that we put in there that confuses people. So when you find one of those, you want to grab it right away and like, okay, how can I explain that differently? How can we make it work? Mm-hmm. We clearly still really, we're in a good place. We're on track to do 100,000 transactions this month. At least that's what the podcast.
That's a lot.
Yeah. We were at 67,000 last month. So it'll go to about 100,000, between 80 and 100 somewhere. And that's the only metric that I'm sticking to now, because if you do it by Satoshi cent, you get the worst charts. It's not helpful at all. You just want to know how many people are sending a transaction, and whether it's a per minute or a boost. Most of them are obviously per minute. And that feels the right way. That's what Roy at Breeze is doing. And I wanted to add that what we're doing with the Lightning Network, it's incredibly important to Lightning Labs. Ryan Gentry will be doing a talk at the Bitcoin conference, the Bitcoin 2021 in Miami. And he has 3 points on his agenda. And number two is podcasting 2.0.
Cool.
And Lightning Labs has made he came over the other day just for a quick, it was kind of weird because this was when, Bitcoin just started to tumble. And, yeah. You know, I think that Ryan had kind of hoped, okay, just wrapping up a few things here, got a board meeting, then we have Bitcoin Miami, and you know, then we're on to the next thing. And, you know, what he's being the new, you know, new business guy, business development guy, what he didn't need is a lot of people calling saying, I'm ruined. I left my whole career for this. Where is this going? And remind me to tell you about what happened, because I have a theory on that. However, okay. So he came over, we're just chatting, you know, this happens in the history of Bitcoin, and there's different reasons for it. And this one's a little different, which in fact I find exciting, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we've made a decision, and I'm paraphrasing here, so don't hold me to it. Lightning Labs has always been developing LND, their node, with developers in mind. So the developers ask for things, and you know, so that's how you get wallets and you get roulette games and you get you know, certain functionality for certain pieces. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what they've created is done, and you know, it doesn't take off, nothing happens. It's, you know, just, it's a dud, it happens. And so they want to move much closer towards what they call the creators, which I refuse, but okay. And so they're asking, what do we need? What can we ask them for that they can put in that'll make this hum? And the first thing I said was, connect to this wallet. Yeah. That's the number one thing I want, connect to this wallet. So there's a couple things. One, he pointed me towards sockets.money, which I posted on the Mastodon. No one saw it, which is a version of what we're talking about. You can connect a wallet to an app, sockets.money. It's not what we need, I don't think, but it's a start. But he understands exactly what I'm talking about. He feels that the so-called static invoices, which will be a slight or maybe more slight change to the way Keysend works now, that may offer a hell of a lot of solutions, which is part of the reason why we're in on this early. And you, Eric, and myself have already been asked. I think you received an invite.
Mm-hmm. I did.
To join one of these roundtables. Have your shit ready, because whatever we ask for, they're really going to try and do. Okay. So these are the things that that excite me when I hear that, you know, this is not a slouchy bunch of people over there. And we have shown them that there is a use case and that there are people using Lightning, using micropayments far and beyond anything that's being done right now. Anything.
Yeah.
And we all should be pretty proud of that.
That 100%. And then you got the feedback directly from people like Mitch, who said, you know, I can't, it's just a terrible user experience to try to throw my user back and forth between an external API. Yeah. An external API and the app, and just keep kicking, you know, to kick them back and forth to go create an account over here and do all this kind of stuff.
Copy paste.
I really just want a connect to wallet thing. Like, can I just have, you know, that's really what I need. I need an OAuth type experience for connecting to this wallet.
Well, and it of course it does exist with a full LND node, even with the QR code, but we're talking about a different solution. And I think we all collectively agree that the best path for podcasters in general is get, and for podcast listeners, I should say, is to just get a something that's custodial. People can put a small amount of money on it anyway, most likely. And that's where the education process starts. And at a certain point, I think you'll see podcasters who are saying, well, this is interesting, you know, but now I'm receiving, 20,000 sats a day and I'm sweeping it out. You know, I probably should have a different solution. Boom, for $17 a month, you can have a fully noted solution from Breeze and Voltage. You know, so there's definitely a path, but we need a better path to get people started. And right now, the what Martin has done with Podfriend, I think, is by far the most elegant solution.
It's the closest thing to an actual, like, friction-free,
very close to frictionless
onboarding.
Yes,
yeah. There's still that bit of friction, but it's the closest one. And did you read? I'm sure. Oh, I know you did, because I think you actually tweeted the link out. Roy's article, yes, about subscriptions.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Fantastic. Yeah, another great article.
And I think that goes right back into the discussion we had earlier about media.
The title is "It's Time to Short Subscriptions and Go Long on Lightning."
Yeah,
and then he does subhead: "Subscriptions are obsolete and unfair. Lightning is the solution." Yeah, right on, Roy. Right, the guy, man. He's got bombs falling on his head. He's over there in Brian of London territory. Yeah, bombs falling on his head. Oh, I'm just going to bang out a Medium article. Okay.
And right. He's no slouch as a writer, boy. He gets after it.
He does. He does.
I think it's worth talking about that for a second, because subscription, you know, he goes into a lot of detail, and it's a, you know, you need to read the article, but really the gist in my mind, what I've been thinking about, and it really did, the Ambies and all stuff brought this up, and the AT&T stuff, is subscriptions are really, they're not, I agree with him, they're not sustainable long term. And the reason is because, like, well, let me see how I want to explain this. Looking at the podcasting subscription stuff that's coming out right now with Apple and Spotify and that kind of thing, there's a certain section of the population that think of the podcasting world that thinks that's, you know, fantastic. But what you get when you have a subscription-based user base, a subscription user base, is you get sort of a constant outflow and inflow. People jump out and back into the subscriptions all the time, because the subscriptions can never accurately reflect what they actually, you know, the value that they're getting from the product, because the value of media is ever changing on a daily basis, if not more granular than that. So if I'm listening to, you know, I subscribe to a podcast and I'm listening to that podcast heavily for a couple of weeks, and then for a period of 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not listening that much. Or maybe a period of a couple of months, or maybe, I'm listening to it and I keep getting interrupted, or like, what you need, your value, perceived value of that product is in constant flux. And so what you need is a payment system that reflects your moment by moment perceived value.
Yes.
Rather than aggregating it into a big chunk and applying it to this broader time period.
And you have a true pricing mechanism, which is based upon yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You get more money from me as a booster than you do as a subscriber. I can promise you that 100%.
Yep. 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 Yep.
My life is so busy on a daily basis that when I hit play on your podcast, that is a big deal for not just me, for a lot of people. When you hit play, you've committed a minimum of a half an hour that you're going to invest into listening to that podcast. And if you care that much, then you're willing to give that creator money. You're willing to give them money at that moment, at that very moment. You're willing to give them a lot of money because you've decided that their product is that valuable that you're going to spend your precious time listening to it. But if you catch that listener at some random day of the month when they're not interested in what in your podcast, and you say, and you just show them the amount, okay, you're spending $10. It just doesn't, it's not the same.
Well, not only that, but it's a lot more fun, certainly as we progress. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, in fact, this is, I think it was Darren O'Neill who posted, well, you know, it's a jury, I'm paraphrasing, jury's still out on whether people will adopt this method. Yeah, you know what? If you just sit there and wait, no. But if you do the following, hey, do you guys like this show? Do you like what we're doing here with Podcasting 2.0? Boost us now. Boost. Hit the boost button. Exercise your thumbs, you lazy ass. Boost, boost, boost. Guess what?
Thumbs out.
It works. This is a fact. It's proven. You have to ask people to support you. You need to ask. And it's beautiful. You'll see it. One hour, 10 minutes, 57 seconds, we're going to see a whole bunch of boosts coming through on this show.
What you have to do with a subscription model is you have to lower your price. You have to get your price low enough to where people won't bounce in and out of the subscription.
Hey, man, here's what I'm seeing. Apple's whole modus operandi would be to promote some success story with podcast subscriptions, as they do with all their other products, after launch. I have not seen it. I have not seen NPR saying, oh my God, we transitioned to subscriptions. It's crazy. It's off the wall. Never again. We'll never go back.
Well, that may be because half their shows disappeared at Apple.
well, there's that. And hello again to Stacey from NPR. We're so happy to have you on board. I love it. I love it when she's pushing stuff, man.
Yeah,
she's too. A renegade. We got one on the inside, Dave. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I don't want to get boxed in. I'm making sure we're compatible with your stuff. Yes.
I'm going to send her some Podbean posting token too.
Yes. That would be fantastic. And could you imagine if the NPR, I mean, it's very simple. NPR could choose an app that they like and they could add it to the script. You know, the part where it says, or wherever you get your podcast, why not just say, or try out Podfriend, or try out Breeze, or try out Podverse, or try out Castomatic, this newpodcastapps.com. Ask people to do that.
NPR is one of those deceptive companies where they look like they're old and stuffy, but they actually have a lot of forward-thinking tech. I bet you they're very willing to jump on board with this. I get that feeling.
Well, it's a very subtle thing I'm asking for. Just in that throwaway line, you get our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Try out a new one at newpodcastapps.com. It's not a commercial venture. It's completely open source, free, value for value. We're just trying to really secure everybody's future.
Do you want to do some namespace talk real quick?
Do I ever? Bring it on, big boy.
Now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
You know, I like it when we have a group namespace. But I like it just with you a little better. You know, just mano a mano feels less dirty.
This is the sexiest podcast.
Hell yeah.
In the universe. So... we have, it reminded me for some reason, it popped into my head right when you were talking about that, is the block tag.
Yes.
So just a quick update. The way it's looking right now is we're going to have alternate enclosure. That's what's going to be finalized on June the 1st.
Nice.
Alternate enclosure, license, and, oh gosh, I just had a brain freeze. What's the
format? Format?
No, not format. That's super, super simple. Oh, trailer.
I'm sorry. Yes, yeah, trailer. Okay.
So trailer, trailer license and alternate enclosure. The block tag has come back up as sort of resurrected because, and well, not because of, but this app that was just sort of discovered yesterday, I guess, the podcast clips app, like pod clips mm-hmm. app or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like evidently grabbing people's content and rehosting it on their own servers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's this block, you know, the block tag.
Pod clips. Podclips.com. Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the block tag would allow people in their feed to specify which aggregators they do and do not want to be able to index their content. And so you can say, you block Spotify, block Apple, blah, blah, blah. And then you're saying, or block Google, and you're saying, you know, I do not want my stuff to show up in your directory. This is good in one way, and I had this discussion with James Cridlin on the Mastodon. Like, yes, I agree that I agree and I want to do this. I want to put it in the namespace. This namespace does not belong to Dave or the Podcast Index. It belongs to the open source world. It's an open system. I'm perfectly willing to go along with this. I've just got a couple of reservations. One is that you always open yourself up to shenanigans, and I sort of planted my flag there, and I was like, I will support and even champion this tag until the point when I see people, companies trying to use it to gain leverage over other companies, where they say, you know, okay, well, Anchor says all of a sudden block everybody but Spotify and Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's BS. Sorry.
You finish and I have some thoughts.
Okay. I think that is anti competitive behavior. I don't like that word because it's got all the monopoly government goop all over it. But to me, that is just a way for one industry player to try to gain a competitive advantage over another industry player. That's not the creator choosing where they want to be listed. Exactly. That's a company interceding on their behalf.
Okay. So I just got to interject here. First of all, this has nothing to do with podcast clips. They're not rehosting RSS feeds. They are taking content, taking images from people and clipping it and hosting from their own servers. That is a content copyright violation. It has nothing to do with the feed. I mean, they totally may not be trolling feeds at all. They may just be downloading stuff or whatever. If we'll just use the big boys as an example, Spotify took our feed, the No Agenda feed, put it in there, or someone submitted it. I don't know how it got in, and they had a process, and I went, no, I don't want it, and I was done. And I think that's a fine process. I think that everyone should be baking in a copyright notice of some form. I do Creative Commons, and I've defended Creative Commons in court, so I'm very comfortable with it. For people stealing my content and using it commercially. And it's documented as such. I think it was the first court case over Creative Commons content. That's where your content disclaimer belongs, but it could even be on your show page, website, etc. I'm totally with you. I think that these tags are not necessarily creator-generated. They are more industry back-end. Most people don't deal with these at all. And what the scenario you are talking about, I guarantee you will happen. I think we've had a total of maybe 10 or 15 people who did not want their content on Podcast Index or their feed. Mm-hmm. And we've of course taken it off, and we'll have a way for people to do that, just like every other company does. I don't see any reason for a tag at all. And honestly, I'm not sure why James is pushing this so hard.
I think it's coming from an honest place. I think he just really does want creators to have. I think he wants podcasters to have control of where their stuff shows up. But one reason is because it would make it simpler and not have to field all these requests, because, you know, a site like his is sort of indicative of a broader category of sites where, you know, like in our instance, we're going to end up having, when Eric finishes his work, we're going to end up having a way people can claim their feed and mm-hmm. delist it and mm-hmm. delist it.
Mm-hmm.
But a site like his, or like, let's just say pod, pod pages or some of these sort of like landing page sites, they don't have the capacity to be able to allow people to get in and somehow claim a feed and delist it. And that's, it's a heavy lift for them. So it would be easier if you could just respond to the person and say, if you don't want to show up in my catalog, just put the blog tag in and list Pod News and you won't show up on our site. And I can see that. I 100% respect that. And I don't mind there again. I'm fine with the tag being there. And if somebody puts it in, and they list Podcast Index, we don't want to be listed. You know, that's fine. I won't list them. I don't mind that. But as soon as I see some shenanigans start, I'm ignoring it. The tag can exist and be respected as long as you're respecting everybody else. But if you start trying to, and I'll tell you, this is the other side of the coin that I was thinking was there's two issues. We've seen this. Well, you see this with robots.txt, the robots file that controls who gets to index people's websites is a robust, it's very robust. You can easily tell what sites you want to be able to index your content, like Google, Yahoo, you know, Bing, all these kind of, DuckDuckGo. What you see though is you see a lot of like WordPress plugins where the default out of the box robots file contains block everything but Google.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's garbage to me. If some plugin or some, big hosting company or something like that just automatically starts putting in their feeds by default, block everything but Apple and Spotify, then I'm just going to consider that block tag doesn't exist at that point.
I guess my problem, and I understand, and I have obviously, what you're proposing is the right way to go. The problem I have is my feed has been sucked up by Spotify, by Google, by Amazon, and not a word out of anybody how evil that was. Not a word.
Yeah.
Not a word. And I complained about it bitterly. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You can't just do that. But that's okay. And so now it's all these smaller guys who are... I just don't want to give any. I can see this playing out, and Cridland pointed to a good article. I mean, he had a good pointer to an article, which is another one of these. Oh my God, Google's hosting white supremacist content for podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Which again, and he even gave them a pass. Like, well, you know, that's just what Google does. What this will be used for? This block tag, and you know, fine, we can ignore it. I guarantee you it's going to be used for censorship. It's going to be used.
Right.
So it's just an open door. If it's to automate stuff that, you know, because I don't think anybody knows exactly what they don't want to be listed on. You know, there's something that exists in the future that I don't know if I want to be listed on that. I don't know. And there's tons of stuff. I mean, if anything, I'd like to stop receiving emails from every Tom, Dick, and Harry who has a pod something venture funded piece of shit. And oh, we've built a page for you. Come look at our page. Hey, I'm following up on the 5 emails that you've ignored. You know, so I get this all the time, and it's like, whatever. You know, you have a page there, fine. You know, I don't think it's worth fighting. If someone is blatantly ripping off your stuff, and podcast clips is a very clear example, and the images, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even know why I don't even know what they're trying to do over there. It's just, I don't know if If it's to automate the idea of people not showing up where they don't want to show up, it's like, you don't know. You know, it's like,
that's why the robots thing got broken. That's exactly why it happened, because everybody's like, I don't know what's about to try to index my feed. And I get all my AdWord revenue from Google. So I'm just going to block everything from Google except Google. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way this, I feel like there's some idealism that needs to be broken here when it comes to the block tag. But I mean, do not track, that header didn't work for the same reason. Mm-hmm. It's because everybody, you know, as soon as you have one big player that ignores it, well, it's useless. I mean, it's just, okay, so let's say that we put the block tag in, and a year from now, us and three other directories are the only ones that respect it, and Apple, Google, and Spotify could care less. Well, I mean, that's not going to solve anything.
No.
All that's going to do is punish us. That's not going to, and make us have stuff that not have things that the other their directories have. And that puts the apps that use us at a disadvantage. Or Listen Notes, let's say Listen Notes respects it. Well, then all of a sudden they have a lot less than Apple Podcast Directory does. I mean, I see like five ways this can go wrong and like one way it can go right. Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'd request, and in general, I'd like to have these conversations, these long threads be moved to GitHub where it belongs in an issue about a tag. Cause it just, it's too many personalities and people start getting each other's face. And it's like, just move that over to the GitHub where we can have, you know, there's a little more structured conversation, cause you miss too much on Mastodon for these types of issues. My feeling.
I'm guilty of bringing that stuff into the Mastodon because it's so much faster.
Well, I know it's like, and the Podping stuff, it was just, you know, for a week, it's just all been, Brian likes to post. It's just kind of, you know, it just, anyone who's not involved in it actively is kind of like, ho hum. Yeah. So that we just need to move some of that stuff over when appropriate. But I mean, it doesn't mean it isn't exciting. I'm just saying, like, this is a very specific issue, and it can take a lot. It's also, to me, it is by far, one of the least important things in my life right now. Of all the things that are a problem with podcasting, this is not the one. This is not the hill I'm going to die on. So whatever, it's fine. There's many other important things to do.
Yeah, I don't think a block tag would have stopped Podclips or whatever the name of that app is.
Well, also what pisses me off, Dave, what pisses me off is I want a value tag, but no, now we're all going to go fight for a fucking block tag. Like we fought for the lock tag. Oh, everyone implemented the lock tag, but we won't do any other tags.
Well, we got to give them some. Well, June 1st, we'll give you a whole new batch of tags. So,
I'm talking in general to, we're coming up on a year and a lot of hosting companies have not done anything.
Yeah, true. But well, a few more apps, the more apps that begin to support things, the more the hosts will be hosting companies will be pressured to adopt more stuff.
Yes. And if you're using one of these apps from newpodcastapps.com, tweet about it. Let people know what you think about it. I'm seeing this. It's happening. I just want to make sure we ask people to do that. You are part of a movement, a revolution, recapturing our rightful place in the media landscape as the Star Search is being built up around us. Ed McMahon is coming back from the dead to host a podcast.
That's right, Johnny.
How about we thank a few people?
Oh yeah, I did want to say last bit of namespace stuff.
Though. Yes, sorry.
Baxter Tidwell. Do you know Baxter Tidwell?
I don't know.
He created a formal namespace schema
Is this the DTD or whatever it is? Those are weird things. I've never understood how to really do one.
I've read his document, and I still barely understand it. which is why I'm thrilled that he did it. he sent me an email, and he was on the SGML working group, the predecessor to XML.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows this stuff inside and out. Yeah.
Has he posted this yet? Is there a link to it?
It's up on the namespace now. Yeah. I posted a link to it in the Mastodon a few hours ago. And you can go and click on there. And he's got a very well done write up and document about exactly how it works and what he did and how to use it within Visual Studio Code.
Ooh.
The cool thing about it is as you're writing your tags, it will error check you against the namespace to make sure that you've put all the attributes and stuff in correctly. Very slick.
Wow. This is a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He spent a lot of time on this.
Wow. That's some real time and talent, man. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to make sure that I thanked him for that, because that was very valuable. I've been wanting that for a while. And every time I start to look at it, I'm like, oh,
your eyes blaze over.
Yeah. He's like, I'll do it. And I'm like, yes, thank you, man.
it's a value for value project. Everything we're doing here is to move it forward. Everyone's putting in their time, their talent, people putting in treasure. We're putting in a lot of all of that. It keeps us honest, keeps us open. This podcast is a part of it, which is, as far as I know, the only board meeting that is a podcast where everybody is invited. Everyone gets a shake at the stick. Let's thank some of our financial supporters who believe in what we're doing and want to move everything forward and came in with their treasure.
Yeah. Right off the bat, if you donated enough to get a t-shirt, please send. I've got a new strategy here because I'm not able to keep up with it.
How'd that XML spreadsheet work out? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not XLS, your spreadsheet.
I don't want to talk about it. Please send, if you donate enough to get a t-shirt, please send your shirt size and your address that we need to ship it to shirts@podcastindex.org.
Holy crap. Someone had to think about that one.
I did. I thought about it for at least 45 seconds.
Now tell us about these handsome podcasting 2.0 certified shirts, Dave. What do they look like? Tell us about them.
Oh, they're beautiful. They have a podcasting 2.0 certified pill badge on them that the wonderful Benjamin Bellamy wrote up, designed for us as a vector art.
Oh, perfect.
I think they're going to be like a dark gray color, the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, your whole body, not just your podcast, but your whole body can be podcasting 2.0 certified now.
Wear it loud and proud, everybody. Put it on your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your dog.
Your dog. Yeah. So anyway, send it to that.
Yeah. A total of $100 donations. You deserve that t-shirt, shirts@podcastindex.org. Yes. And I guess we'll be giving a couple of those away today then.
Oh, for sure. So Marco Arment from Overcast came in again with $500.
Marco, thank you so much.
Yep.
It is a delight to have you in the group. And we're glad that this is a very, very nice collaboration. And I know that he's working on chapters. I saw him posting about that. That's very excited about that.
Yes. I'll make sure, I don't know if he listens to the show, so I'll make sure he knows about t-shirt. I'll send him an email.
Shit, man, we all listen to his show.
Well, y'all send us t-shirts, we'll send you t-shirts.
Thank you, Marco.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate it. That seriously covers our hosting fees for the entire month. Let's see. Steven Crater.
Yes.
Came in with $100.
Oh, Steven. Thank you. Steven, who creates websites on the fly filled with beautiful data.
Yeah, in like 5 minutes.
You're like, hey, you know, I need one of these. And then Crater's there like this?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like when I said, I think it was on the last show. I was like, we really need a page where it lists all the value for value enabled podcasts. And literally, I mean, it's like, you know, 4 hours later, he's like, here, I got you one pull request. I'm like, oh God, man, seriously. Yeah. Steven sent us $100 and he said, I've enjoyed being a member of the Podcast Index community and appreciate the opportunity to contribute how I can. Steven, you didn't have to do that, and you will definitely be getting a t-shirt. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Let's see. Umstadt Media sent us $100.
Are they from Deutschland?
I don't know.
Umstadt?
It's Thomas Umstadt. And he just says, certify me.
Well, so, first you have to defragment.
No. Defragmented.
Can't just be certified. You got to defragment you first.
I guess, is that a Dutch name? Umstadt?
No, how do you spell it? U-M-S-T-A-D-T?
T-T-D.
And it's media? Umstadt Media?
Yes, Umstadt Media and Thomas Umstadt.
Let me see. Thomas. Oh, I see him. I'm stalking him now.
Or is that German?
Thomas is a speaker, a podcaster, and a CEO. Hey, looks like he's from Texas. What the hell?
Texas?
Hold on. Yeah, hold
Wait
on.
Wait a second.
Well, you know,
head fake.
We have a very long, rich history, a German history. He lives in Austin with his beautiful wife and children.
Okay.
Sure, send pictures.
You can carry a t-shirt over to his house.
I just might have to do that. Oh, thanks, man. I bet you he's a long time Texan. I bet he's been here since the 1800s, or not him, but his family.
We have a lot of German heritage in North Alabama, because that's where Redstone Arsenal and the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center was. You know, there's a lot of NASA government stuff up in North Alabama and Huntsville area.
Yeah, but those are still the Operation Paperclip Germans.
Totally.
Those That's are actually exactly the Nazis. It it's all his Nazi offspring.
if you go, there's a graveyard that you can go up there, and it's like filled with like Iron Cross headstones.
Wow,
and,
really? You
know, it's total German Nazi Operation Paperclip.
Yeah. Interesting.
Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, man. And yeah, let's have a beer.
Dame Jennifer Buchanan, $33.33.
Thank you, Dame Jennifer. You do not need to do that. You do so much already.
She says, in the morning, y'all, if Adam can throw in a penny, this plus my last two $33.33 donations entitles me to one of those fancy new t-shirts.
You got it.
Thanks to all who are working to keep podcasting hot. Kisses and hugs, Dame Jennifer.
Thank you, Dame Jennifer. Yes, on the way to you, for sure. Yep. We're loud and proud.
Let's see. Is there a note with this one? I do not see a note for Ronald Keys, but he gave us $25. Thank you, Ronald.
Thanks, man. Every single penny makes a difference.
And let's see here. Mark King gave us $10, and he says, thanks, y'all.
And thank you.
Thank you for that.
Another Texan, maybe.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I don't know. Y'all.
Let's see. Oh, Andy Lehman. Andy gave us $5, and he says, Dave and Adam, thanks for all you do. Keep up the good work. It has allowed us at the Dudes and Dads podcast to do some cool things in our feed.
Oh,
and it
nice.
Has allowed me, Andy Lehman of Lehman Creations, to develop some cool crap. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting! Yeah, man,
it's not
thank
crap,
you.
Andy.
No, it's not, baby. It's art.
Art, it is. And we have a new autumn subscription, a monthly subscription from David Woodfine, $3. I do not see a note from David. So
we appreciate that, David. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who supports the Podcast Index, Podcasting 2.0, with your time, your talent, your treasure. To support us, you can go to podcastindex.org. We've got a big donate button there. It still connects to PayPal. The site revamp is coming, so we'll still welcome your cuck bucks through that system. And of course, you can always boost this show and crank up the value sliders and just help us with some true value for value. The moment you're getting it, you're spitting it right back. I see you, Martin. Martin loves to boost us when he's listening. I think he locks his fiance out. Like, no, it's the show is coming up, and I have to make sure it's that everything's that the ping the pod ping has been pinged appropriately before I tweet or toot it, because he gets angry if it doesn't work on his app.
No,
yet.
He's pissed.
He gets very mad. Can I? Do I still just use those scripts that you gave me?
Yeah, that goes straight. That goes straight to us. I think the delay. Wait a second. Monthly donations. I forgot to read those.
Oh, yes, please. Hello.
Sorry about that. Keith Gibson. These are subscriptions that hit this week. Keith Gibson gave us $50. Nice. Enigma Labs, $20. Dwayne Goldie II, $8. Charles Current, $5. And Thomas Sullivan Jr., $5. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Enigma Labs. What the hell is Enigma Labs?
I don't know. It sounds military.
They're developing the future.
I like it, though. Enigma Labs. Go ahead.
Enigma Labs was created with an intention of establishing an environment where physicians feel they are in control.
Pharma money.
I have a feeling it may be a different Enigma Labs. Just a hunch.
I love pharma money.
I love pharmaceutical money.
Yeah, maybe we're getting some of that
pharma cash. I don't want a Fauci booster. I don't want your boost on podcasting 2.0. It's the only boost I'm interested in. Give me that.
This is funny too. They had that discussion. Todd and Rob had that discussion about the ED advertising. Mm-hmm. And then sort of at the end of the segment, they said, he wrapped it up. Do ED advertising 3.
And they don't run for very long.
Yeah. The pills don't work for very long either. I'm told. So
yeah. Anyway, that's all I got.
Brother. I think, now do we have any guests scheduled for the next couple of weeks? What do we have?
I'm not scheduled. I scheduled so many guests that I just gave us a breather.
Yeah, that's good. I like just doing the two of us for a bit too. It's also nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that too. We've got some people we need to get on the show though. Yeah. I'm going to try to get back and get us some guests here soon, but I figure we could get like a guest after we get back from the conference.
Yes. I'm very excited. It'd be fun to, I've met you, obviously. I've met Eric, but you guys never met in person. Now that'll be fun. We have we are very popular. We've got a lot of invites. A lot of people want to be on our dance card.
All right.
So I'm just preparing you. It's going to be the Airbnb from hell, baby. Right. The podcast index Airbnb.
There's another ISO in here that I don't know what it is. I'm going to listen. Do you see that one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to listen.
That's Hillary. I don't know where that came from. I've been hauling it around for a few weeks. All right. You got anything else?
Yeah, I think, that's it, man. It's been, I know you've been real busy with family stuff and work stuff. And I'm in the middle of selling a house, moving, buying a new house.
How's it going?
Actually, we have contracts both ways. So now it's...
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, now it's the... We need everything you've got, your statement from April.
Oh,
and
God,
us in May, yeah. Up until current. where did this deposit come from?
Yeah.
Now it's at the underwriter and they're like, hey, wait a minute. Are you borrowing money from someone else to make it look good? That kind of thing.
Somehow you can have like a $25 billion SPAC that comes out of nowhere, yes. But you can't have a single deposit on your account in the last 3 months to buy a house. How does that work?
It's so true. Ever since Tina and I got together 6 years ago, we just had our second wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
Thank you. She's really taken over a number of things. She Marie Kondo'd me. Everything's, we've got everything down to the T, every single thing, and
but you're not a messy guy though. I've been to your house. It's spotless.
No, I have hell holes. Anyway, it's like
they're restricted to one little spot.
Well, no, they're little ones all over the place. When Tina and I moved in together, it meant I moved out of my my apartment and we moved into the apartment downtown together. And you know, we found plastic bags, you know, like big like shopping bags filled with unopened envelopes of bills and all kinds of bullshit. And because, you know, I was like, this is how I was. I was like, fuck it. I'll pay it in 2 weeks. You know, it's like little guy pay right away. This asshole I'll pay. And you know, big guy, now I'll pay you later. And of course, then the reminder comes in, I pay that and I just toss the envelope aside. And so she was like, oh my God, are these all unpaid bills? It's like, no, this is just how I've been living. Anyway, so she took over everything. We got everything. And yet still they have things like, oh, now we need this. And, you know, and lift your left nut. And, okay. Anyway, everyone knows what that's like. It's just, it's crazy right now because everyone is busy, title companies, and it's just crazy. It's, in the meantime, you know, We forge forward. It's one of the most exciting things I've ever been involved in. I'm so blessed to be working with you and with Eric and with everybody at Podcast Index. I'm sure you feel the same. It is a labor of love, but we do have a strategy. And
it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, if we keep at it, I think everything will be okay. So remind everybody, there's some cool new apps, newpodcastapps.com. Everyone should be trying those out. Podcasters, hear me now, believe me later, you will leave it. And we'll be back next Friday with another edition of Podcasting 2.0, the board meeting. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
I love pharmaceutical
money. Go podcasting!